Catholic Answers Live. My name is Christopher Check. I am president at Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett, the regular host of Catholic Answers Live. Cy will be back in this chair tomorrow. Coming up in our second hour, in our 4 o'clock Pacific Coast time hour, Carlo Broussard, staff apologist here at Catholic Answers. We will be talking about the Bible blueprint for Marian dogmas. If you have questions about what the Church teaches about the Blessed Mother, about the Virgin Mary, that's the time to call. If you doubt that Scripture supports, especially if you doubt that Scripture supports those teachings by the Catholic Church about the Blessed Virgin Mary, that is the time to call and engage Carlo on that and learn a bit more about why the church teaches, why what she teaches about the Blessed Virgin and how far back those teachings, in fact, do go. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH, 888-318-7884 is the number to talk to our guest this hour and the next hour. Our guest this hour, I'm very happy to report to you, my brother, Father Paul Check, executive director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. Oh my goodness, that's a great shot there. I don't know. Those of you who are not watching on YouTube or on Catholic.com really ought to dial in, because not only do we have the new studio here at Catholic Answers, the newly designed studio, great work by the video department, but you can see my brother there in front of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. Looks like a beautiful June, Wisconsin, southwestern Wisconsin day. How are you, my brother?
It is very good, my brother. It's a lovely day, and I'll be happy to report to you that it is 82 degrees. And the air quality is good, and it's very mild humidity here. It's almost like San Diego.
It sounds a lot like San Diego weather. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, my brother. So you've been now at the helm of the Shrine for coming up on a year.
June 15th was when I landed here last summer. Yes.
Yeah. And you were wearing two hats for a time as wrapping up your work as the rector of the seminary in the Diocese of Bridgeport, and God bless Bishop Frank Gaggiano of Bridgeport, who has graciously given you to Cardinal Burke to run this magnificent shrine that he built when he was bishop there.
No, I'm very happy here, my brother, after a year. We have very strong numbers in terms of pilgrim count. We have very strong numbers in terms of confessions, something well over 800 for last month, 900 in the month of March. And all of the kinds of things that are measurable indicate that people are coming and benefiting from time at the shrine. But then there are all the spiritual goods.
Amen.
From being here, praying, receiving the sacraments, hearing a sermon,
and
just walking on beautiful grounds.
And perhaps in this hour we can give some special attention to the spiritual life. Our topic for the first hour is Ask a Priest. So it is something of an open forum, but we specifically welcome questions that priests are particularly good at answering, questions pertaining to the liturgical life, to the spiritual life, to what we call the interior life in our Catholic faith. Perhaps you are struggling with some temptation, trying to grow in a particular virtue or virtues. Perhaps you think you may have a vocation to the priesthood or to the religious life, and you would like some counsel on discerning that. Perhaps you are having some kind of family struggle or struggle in your life and need the counsel of a priest. So 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH, Ask a Priest. My guest, Father Paul Check, executive director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. My brother has an advanced degree in moral theology with a special emphasis on marriage. Right, my brother, you wrote your Tessina on Ephesians.
I did, Ephesians 5. Yes, the headship of the husband in the family, according to St. Paul's Christological view of marriage. Yes.
So questions about marriage we welcome as well. Let's talk for a minute, my brother, before we go to calls, about the shrine and about pilgrimage, especially. Mm-hmm. When His Eminence Colonel Burke was Bishop of La Crosse, he built this shrine. It's an interesting story. Originally intending it to be a shrine to Our Lady of Fatima. And then after reading Ecclesia in America, right, by John Paul, Pope St. John Paul, and understanding the special role of the Virgin of Guadalupe in the story of the Americas, he was inspired to build this site of pilgrimage. And and recently the Holy See, and you can explain chapter and verse here, my brother, but recently the Holy See has said that a pilgrimage to the shrine in La Crosse, Wisconsin, to the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, is equivalent in the economy of salvation or equivalent in the dispensing of grace as to a pilgrimage to the shrine in Mexico City. How does that work?
Yeah. Well, I certainly encourage people to go to Mexico City. I've seen it, as you have, the Tilma, and there is a special grace to be received there. But there are many people who, for one reason or another, might like to go there but can't or will not. And therefore, as a concession, as a favor to those people and to the shrine, you can receive on pilgrimage here a comparable grace. And people come here, of course, for many reasons, to express gratitude, to ask for the intercession of Our Lady, petition for health, or another need of a family member, perhaps, or personal. And to situate that in the question about pilgrimage, let's think of it in these terms, because in the United States, the idea of pilgrimage perhaps is not as well known as it might be in Mexico or maybe Canada even, or in certainly in Europe. And I think we can think about it in two ways. First is that in the story of salvation history, this life is a pilgrimage. We don't have a lasting home here, as St. Paul says. We have, if I can say it this way, a visa that will expire. And when it expires, of course, the most important moment of our life we will have achieved, which is when we will see the Lord face to face. So life, human life, in the context of salvation history, is a pilgrimage to our heavenly home. And everything that we want to think about in terms of pilgrimage can be situated there with regard to how we hold the things of this world. We should hold them gratefully, but also lightly and gently as we are moving towards eternity. And the other way to think about it, again, from the standpoint of salvation history, is to look at sacred scripture. Because both in the Old Testament and the New, there are pilgrimages. People in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, went to Jerusalem or other holy places. They made pledges, they made vows, and they would go and worship in a certain place. That was a pilgrimage. And our Lord himself went on pilgrimage because he went to Jerusalem. So the idea of pilgrimage is embedded deeply in our story, which is both the Old Testament and the New. And the effort that it takes to go on pilgrimage when undertaken sincerely and for the love of God will be rewarded. And that's, of course, something we want to communicate to people.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. The show is Catholic Answers Live. My name is Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett. My guest is my older brother, Father Paul Check, executive director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. The topic, ask a priest. Any question you might have that a priest is especially suited to answer, we welcome your calls at 888-318-7884. We're talking very briefly just at the beginning here about pilgrimage, because that is the purpose, that is the function, if you will, of the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. It's a place where a holy place where people go on pilgrimage, come away to a holy place, they say there. And I just want to encourage anyone, especially people in the American Midwest, if you live in the state of Wisconsin or Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, it's a very short drive to get to a place suffused with natural beauty, to be sure, that unglaciated portion of Wisconsin along the Mississippi River. But even, my friends, if you do not live in middle America within a 5-10 hour drive, get on an airplane, and here's what you need to do. Get on an airplane to the Twin Cities, to Minneapolis, St. Paul, maybe even spend a day there looking at some of the magnificent churches. The Basilica of the Archdiocese of St. Paul is quite magnificent. Sure. And then rent a car and take the River Road. Don't take the freeway. Take the River Road down the Mississippi River. It'll only take you an extra 15 minutes, and make that drive, as my brother and I, as you can say, Paul, we have done many times. It's a one of the most beautiful drives in the United States, and then go and spend a couple of days at the Shrine of the Cross.
Yes. No, and I think that will be richly rewarded, and particularly because people have, for one reason or another, not been traveling as much as perhaps they're used to in the last 12 months. There's a lot of stored up energy and interest in seeing something. But for Catholics, it should be something that we want to consider not just being refreshed in the natural order, but spiritually.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Father Paul Cech, our guest on Catholic Answers Live, the topic, Ask a Priest. We're going to go to a break. Before we do, we're talking about pilgrimage, my brother. And of course, you mentioned people went on pilgrimage to the Holy Land. What a lot of people don't understand is that the Crusades, in fact, were pilgrimages. They were yep. armed pilgrimages. I just completed the filming of a course on the Crusades for our School of Apologetics. That's going to be out later this year. I've also done one on the Inquisition, and then the most recent one that we've released is one that I've done on the Galileo affair. So, my friends, I want to encourage all of you, those of you who may yet not be familiar with our School of Apologetics, to visit schoolofapologetics.com. It's our school's been running since fall 2019 with Jimmy Akin's first course, Beginning of Apologetics. And since then, we have close to 6,500 people who've enrolled. We have 8 courses. We have something like 90 planned. Students in over 40 countries have signed up for courses in our online School of Apologetics. Students in 49 out of 50 states. What's going on in the state of New Hampshire? We don't know. We're waiting on the first New Hampshire Catholic to go to schoolofapologetics.com and sign up. But anyway, during the month of June, we're running a summer enrollment drive. Full courses only $50, and the short courses just $25. This is a remarkable savings. schoolofapologetics.com. Be right back after this.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hey, it's Wednesday, and that means a new episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, has dropped. You can check it out at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Catholic Answers Focus, the world's premier podcast on Catholic apologetics, now available every Wednesday at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN, the EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number. 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
Catholic Answers Live. My name is Chris Cech. I am president at Catholic Answers, sitting in for your usual host, Cy Kellett, who will be back in this chair at this time tomorrow. My guest this first hour, my brother, Father Paul Cech, executive director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Our topic, Ask a Priest. The phone number to get on the show, 888 318-788-4888-31-TRUTH. And Frank and Lake Wiley, I don't see that you've called yet. We're waiting to hear from you. Let's go to Daniel in Huntsville, Alabama. Daniel, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Daniel, watching on YouTube, thank you very much for watching on the YouTube channel.
Yep, thanks. I have three related questions. How do you distinguish between tradition and authoritative church teaching? Is there an official list of infallible church teachings? And is there an infallible way to determine when the Pope or the church teaches infallibly?
Okay. Well, so the revealed teachings of Jesus Christ were confided to the church, were given to the church, because if there is the claim that something is divine, supernatural, then logically, if that's going to work, there has to be a mechanism for us to validate that these teachings are in fact real. So I think that gets to the underpinning of your question, that you and I are the beneficiaries of divine revelation, but we were not the ones who received it. So we need another body. We need another instrument to be able to validate for us that these things are real. So the Lord knew that, and in giving us the church, he gave us something that we could refer to. And so when we pray the creed on Sundays, when we say, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, we've actually just said everything. When we say, I believe in the church, that means we are not only accepting that the church is real, actually don't need faith for that, in a sense, because the church is a human institution. But when we say, I believe in the church, we are accepting in faith that it is what Jesus Christ proposed to us. So then it becomes a matter, as you have asked, how can we be sure that the things that are proposed to us are in fact infallible teachings? And yes, there are ways to know that. And I think probably the best thing for us to do is to be conversant with the catechism of the Catholic Church. Now, we've had many catechisms. We've had the Roman Catechism in the United States. We had the Baltimore Catechism. Now we have the Catechism of St. John Paul II. Any of those are fine for knowing what is authoritative. So I would start with a catechism and to read it. Tradition is a vehicle by which the teachings of the church are passed on, in the same way that scripture serves that function. And this calls into play what you referred to, the papal magisterium, or the ordinary and universal magisterium of the church, which is the way through which teachings are conveyed to us. With regard to the final question, yes, there is a specific formula that would be used for the invoking the infallibility of the papal magisterium. And in fact, that is something that's happened very rarely in the church's history. And the two things that I'm thinking of in most recent history would be the Immaculate Conception, Pius IX, and the Assumption, Pius XII. So,
Daniel, our colleague and friend here, Jimmy Akin, has taken up the question that you ask in great detail in his book, Teaching with Authority, which talks about the magisterium and what it is, distinguishing between doctrine and dogma, for example, and the various levels of magisterial teaching. And if you give your address to Rosie, we will send you a free copy of that. Thanks for your call, Daniel. Let's go to Joseph in California, also watching on YouTube. Thank you for watching on the YouTube channel, my friends. I think we have something like 130,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. So if you're not a subscriber, here's your invitation. Joseph, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you. I love you guys' channel. Thank you for all that you guys are doing. So my question was something that someone said on TikTok kind of bothered me a little bit. I don't know if I should be bothered about this, Father. So basically, I hope I can state the claim correctly. They're claiming that Mary is omnipotent in the sense that anything she asks of God will be granted to her because she can't go against God's will.
Omnipotent. You know, whenever we have a discussion of things like this, we have to define terms. And there might be a sense in which Our Lady is powerful, most powerful, the most influential. But we typically in the Catholic Church reserve the word omnipotent for God, because it's something that's proper to him in his divine nature. In a poetic sense, in a romantic sense, which is, I think, the way this is being used, and I don't mean that sentimentally, she has an extraordinary influence. So that's, I would carefully unpack it in that way. But I wouldn't get too attached to the word itself.
But my brother, it is important here to underscore her great power, if you will, her
yes.
intercessory power.
Exactly. To
the point that we were talking about at the beginning of the people bring their petitions there to the shrine and the cross because of this intercessory quality.
Exactly. And so therefore, with a careful definition of terms, we could say she enjoys a favor and a tremendous influence. But I think in the Catholic idiom and lexicon, typically, omnipotent is reserved to God. And this way we don't confuse people, which is, I think, maybe what's happened here.
Right.
Yeah.
Joseph, I assure you, my brother will as well, you can rely 100% on the maternal solicitude of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She will see you through anything. Let's go to Jacob in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. My best to Jim Carroll, who runs a great regional network there in Omaha and throughout Nebraska and into Iowa. Jacob, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thank you.
What's your question, Jacob?
Where did the tradition of priests taking the vow of chastity come originate?
Right. Or celibacy, I think, right?
Celibacy, yeah.
Celibacy.
Okay. Well, its origins are back in apostolic times. So part of the apostolic tradition that we understand is that the apostles themselves, though we believe all of them were married with the exception of John, after they left everything to follow Christ— they determined to live in continence within their marriage. So this was in imitation of the master, the high priest, who himself was poor, chaste, and obedient, and in wanting to pattern their lives on his, and with the agreement of their wives, I think we would have to say, they chose to live that way. And then from then, the apostolic celibacy grows in the West. I think there is some confusion that this is something that comes out of the Middle Ages and inheritance and things like this, but that's not my understanding of it. It's not my particular field, but I think the origins of apostolic celibacy, priestly celibacy, are actually with the apostles.
And there's a scriptural injunction from our Lord, my brother.
Yes. That's right. Those who can receive this are to receive it. Yeah. And they are to do so not under constraint, but freely and out of their commitment to Christ, who will give the grace to be able to live it.
How's that, Jacob? Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Great. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Topic is Ask a Priest. The show is Catholic Answers Live. My guest is Father Paul Cech. We'll go to Michael in Youngstown. Michael, we might get your question in before the break and answer it after the break. Michael, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you, Father Paul, for helping us here. I was wondering about the nature of a woman's hair in the Pauline theology, which I'm sure you're greatly advanced in from the sounds of things. and how that relates to our accidental characteristic generally, especially with reference to like theology of the body and our purpose in marriage.
Okay, if you can give a little more direction to the question, that will help me know what to say.
I'd like to specifically understand how we should understand the glory of a woman's hair in the theology, and to take that as a theological principle against our understanding of accidental characteristics generally, especially with respect to our male and our female differences and our
We're going to take a quick break here, my brother, and you'll have time to formulate that answer. 888-318-7884, Catholic Answers Live.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Matt Swaim here. Tomorrow on a Thursday edition of the Sunrise Morning Show, Pastoral Counselor Kevin Prendergast will join us to give a Catholic perspective on narcissistic personality disorder. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Truth. The show is Catholic Answers Live. I am Chris Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett, my guest, my older brother, Father Paul Check, executive director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Our topic this hour, ask a priest. My brother Michael in Ohio was asking about the glory of women's hair as opposed to men's.
Okay. Well, so there are differences between the sexes, and of course, this is a point of great confusion and controversy. Men and women are not interchangeable. They are complementary with an E, and therefore, there are what I would call archetypes, and I would distinguish those from stereotypes. So the archetype would be that which is particular to the thing. It doesn't have to be a man or a woman. It can be other things that are woven into nature. But I think to try to move in the answer of a question here for the caller, whatever the characteristics are that distinguish men and women, first of all, we say that they're good because they're part of the created order. And then secondly, in the moral sense, we have to approach them with reverence, so that we see them from the point of view of virtue. And reverence is itself a virtue that allows us to perceive and receive created goods according to the mind of the Creator, and not to manipulate them for purposes that are selfish or that would do harm. So if we're thinking, I have a beautiful a view of outside the shrine here, typically that doesn't pose any threat to me in terms of how I understand it or what it means for me in terms of virtue. I could, of course, despoil it, and that would be wrong. But when it comes to the sexes, now there is a greater need to approach with reverence. And that may be the direction that the caller is headed here in terms of how we receive it. And I think that was probably somewhere in St. Paul's mind, because things that are particular to men and women, and certainly as they get closer to the intimate realm, require this disposition of reverence so that we don't do harm to the person or to ourselves.
Yeah, well said. And we'll have to leave it there. We lost Michael, but that was a good answer, and I'm grateful to you for that. Let's go to John. John, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Yes, hello. Thank you, Father Paul, for taking my question. I wanted to know, as a sibling, my sister-in-law files, my sister filed for divorce from my brother-in-law last year over COVID. And within 8 months, she moved in with the gentleman and they married civilly. What is my responsibility as her brother or my parents' responsibility to inform my sister and my nephew and niece about the state of their affairs?
Well, much is going to depend on your relationship with her and how she might be willing or not to receive what you have to say. A conversation like that, very important, has to be held with a mutual respect and a mutual desire to reach the truth. Whether you will have the benefit of that here or not, I'm uncertain. It doesn't sound hopeful, but that doesn't mean that we don't bear witness to the truth in any case. I think we want to do this in a private setting, in a confidential setting, in a way that doesn't seem accusatory. I think you would want to express regret for what you have seen and the harm that it can cause. And certainly you can refer back to the marriage vows, better, worse, richer, poorer, their indissolubility, except at death, and the nature of marriage, which includes exclusivity and permanence. So those kinds of things you could recall for her if she's willing to hear you. And I think, yes, you should bear witness to the truth in the proper way, the proper time.
How is that, John?
Just to follow up,
sure.
I know from what I've been told by her, she was told that it was okay to divorce based on the facts that she presented to a nun. And also, what about the children? I mean, she's obviously not going to tell them that what she's doing is wrong. They are teenagers.
Well, no individual in the church has the authority to be able to pronounce on the state of a marriage. That belongs to the marriage tribunal. And so I'm not sure the person with whom she spoke, but they don't have the competency to render that kind of counsel.
And in reference to my niece and nephew?
Well, as teenagers? Well,
yes.
are they living with her?
How old are they? John, how old are they?
High school, and one would be fixing to go into high school.
Yeah. Well, someone, yes, needs to reach them. I don't know if that's you. Maybe it's their grandparents. Maybe it's their father. And someone can help them with this to know the truth. that also has to be done with some care, so that the division isn't exacerbated. But in Maine, yes, I think we need to bring them to the truth. The question is, again, going to be who and how.
John, if you stay on the line and give your mailing address to Rosie, our call screener, I'm going to send you Layla Miller's book that she wrote with Trent Horn that helps parents construct conversations in talking to children, teenagers included, about difficult moral questions. Made This Way is the name of the book. And to be perfectly frank with you, I don't recall if she takes up divorce or not. I know Layla Miller is very good on this topic, and so you might consult other things she's written. But it will help you construct in charity so that when the time is right, as my brother has proposed, you'll be able to have an irenic dialogue with the teenage children. And please know that your sister, of course, and her children, and you are in all of our prayers here as you navigate this. Let's go to Frank in Lake Wylie, South Carolina, where I was recently blessed to visit this beautiful part of the world. Frank, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the shout out. How could I not call after that?
Yeah, right.
I have a question for Father Check, though. The shrine in La Crosse sounds like a wonderful place, but could you tell us a little bit more about the apparition in Guadalupe and the church's procedure? And I think there's only 13 apparitions, Marian apparitions, that the church has accepted, and Guadalupe is one of them. Can you tell us a little bit more about the procedure and the miracle, Father?
Yeah. The miracle, of course, was presented to the bishop in that Juan Diego's tilma, his cloak, was reconfigured by Our Lady in her artistry in a way that human science can not explain. And in this case, because it went right to the authority in the church, he could see for himself there was something most special and unique about this. Local ordinaries are not always involved directly in apparitions, and so in a modern sense, there would be a more formal procedure and set of protocols and norms, as there was, say, in the case of Medjugorje. But I do not know the particulars of this. You'd do better talking to a canonist, I suppose. But certainly one principle that the church will use in any kind of reflection on this is the tree is known by its fruit. So there will be careful reflection on what exactly followed the purported apparition. In the case of Guadalupe, there were, 8 million baptisms, my brother? Is that the number?
Yeah, something extraordinary. Eventually, like something close to 20, something like that. Yeah,
maybe even 20 million baptisms. So that kind of spiritual fruit testifies to the veracity of the apparition, as well as increased fervor for all the sacraments, a greater fidelity to the church's teaching, and other flowerings of the gospel and Catholic life.
Frank, yeah. I recommend to you on the tilma specifically a book originally put out by a Polish press, but I know Ignatius has reprinted it, and I'm forgetting the exact name. It's Secrets of Guadalupe or Secrets of the Tilma or something to that effect. It's a nice hardcover book and a lot of four-color photographs inside and considerable or extensive consideration of the tilma and the various things that it's the mysteries contained in it and the things that it has revealed. I mean, many of them are known to people. The agave fiber long ago should have deteriorated, for example. But it is, as my brother says, reserved initially to the local ordinary to begin and declare on these questions. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Our topic is Ask a Priest. My guest, Father Paul Check, right back after this.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I love the show, but I just wanted to call to encourage that previous caller who called about the Latin Mass and just encourage him to keep giving it a try and especially try to meet some folks outdoors and let his wife meet some people, and that does make that experience so much better. And thank you for your historical background, and it was a good interpretation of the history.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Catholic Answers Live. Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett, who will be back tomorrow. My guest, Father Paul Check, my older and wiser brother and holier, the one that my parents put all the effort into. Before we go back to questions, my brother, we have special guests, plural, here in studio. I welcome Events Czarina, Erica Olson.
Hi.
Erica, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
And you've brought someone with you.
I did. I'm so excited. Making his radio debut.
Yes.
Is my new summer intern.
Tell us about him.
He's very, very close to the apostolate.
I understand he's quite articulate. He gets that from his father.
He does. He's very smart.
Welcome.
His father has given him great wisdom.
Welcome.
So has his uncle.
Welcome, Nathaniel Check, the youngest of the four Check sons.
Hello.
He is our conference intern. So, Nathaniel, you're here to tell us all about the conference.
I am. I am. Yeah.
I told him that he wouldn't have to make the entire pitch.
All right. Well,
you and I would talk about it, and we'd go to him for the fun part.
So here's the great news, Erica. There was some doubt just a couple of months ago whether or not Catholic Answers would, in fact,
I wouldn't even say some months ago. I would say maybe a month ago.
Yeah, we didn't know if we were, in fact, going to be able to host this conference. Those of you who've been to the Catholic Answers conference know we get somewhere between 800, 1,000 people at this thing. It's the greatest Catholic party of the year
in the entire world,
in the whole history of Christendom. There's
That's
never
right.
been a better Catholic party.
You'll never want to miss this.
That's
ever
right.
Again.
And thanks be to God. The skies have parted, and we are going to be able to do this conference.
Yeah, we're able to do it, and we're not just able to do it. We're able to do it at full capacity, which is unheard of. We didn't think that would be a possibility.
And all the usual things that you associate with full capacity, like giving people hugs that you haven't seen for 2 years.
Yeah.
All those good things.
Or partaking in a great banquet dinner together.
That's right. Or the fun happy hour out by the pool.
Yes. Nathaniel, I asked him what his favorite part was. What's your favorite part?
Well, I think that my favorite part is seeing everyone after a year, year after year, and this time it's going to be 2 years because we didn't get one last year. But I love being part of this big family and getting to be part of this family reunion every year, partaking in this great Catholic communion.
Yeah, it's really well said. We
That's not what his answer was off the air.
I thought it's the parties
he
after.
He said he liked the square dancing, which also means that you have to come very close to each other in order to do. So
right.
we're going to
no
have that as
distancing.
Well.
No social distancing. Right. Yeah, so Jimmy Akin will be calling square dancing. But to the conference itself, who do you say that I am is the theme. So the conference is about Jesus Christ. You will get to hear our regular apologists, Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Carla Broussard, mm-hmm. and our brand new apologist.
I'm so excited to hear him. I've never actually heard him as a speaker, but I've gotten to know him here as a staff member, and I'm just thrilled that he's going to be joining us.
Joe Heschmeyer
is coming as an apologist.
Absolutely first-rate guy, and he has the heart of a middle American. It's that kind of Kansas heart. It's beautiful. Yeah.
You don't like the hearts of San Diegans?
No, I do. That's a different kind of heart, though.
That hurts me. That hurts my heart.
Who do you say that I am?
Along with our apologist, you didn't even give the special lineup.
Special guests.
We have Bishop Joe Strickland. We have Paul Gondreau is coming. Sister Maristella is coming.
From the Sisters of Life.
Yes.
And
our very own
Father Paul Check
will be there.
My brother, what will you be talking about?
I think the topic I proposed to Erica was, what was the title?
Oh, goodness. Erica. You're putting me on the spot. Now I don't know it.
Okay. Something about heroism, my brother.
It was such a good idea that it's...
Heroism in the gospel or something.
The call to gospel greatness.
Yes.
Right. And then a Marian,
talk
as well.
I think the second will be a Marian talk.
So the
first one is called The Call to Gospel Greatness.
Yeah,
right?
One of the things we started, I think, in 2019 with my brother were these lunchtime talks with Father Paul Check.
So we have two lunchtime talks. People go and grab their box lunch or whatever they want to eat, and then they just bring it back to the conference room and or to the ballroom and eat lunch while listening to Father Paul give an exquisite talk.
And then, of course, as you say, we're especially honored to have as our keynote speaker, the great and courageous Bishop Joseph Strickland from Tyler, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, all hosted by Cy Kellett.
Yeah, you he's our MC.
You get to meet the whole Catholic Answer staff. So,
we're trying to get Christopher Check on the docket as well here secretly. So be on the lookout for details on that.
Something is, especially if you're a member of our 315 Society.
Yes.
So how do I go to this conference, Erica?
You buy a ticket at CatholicAnswersConference.com. And right now we have early bird special going on. So you get $30 off the conference price if you enter the promo code early.
And when does that expire?
And that expires on July 2nd. So you have now until July 2nd. So basically the end of this month to get an early bird pricing. Enter the code early for $30 off at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
CatholicAnswersConference.com, September 23 to 26 at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla. Erica, one more thing. When the hotel was shut down for COVID, they did a complete refit of this place. I know you and I went to see it.
Yes.
I thought it was a lovely hotel to begin with.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous hotel to begin with. Everybody loves it. I've never heard one bad review from any attendee on this hotel, and it looks a million times better.
Yeah.
And I think all of our returning attendees will just be wowed.
And they've given us a whale of a room rate. I think it's $164 for a night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can get a Motel 6 for that.
I don't think so either. Yeah, I think their normal rate is upwards of almost $300.
Oh yeah, no,
so
this is a super bargain.
It's a steal.
It's a great September is my favorite month in San Diego. The tourists have gone home. The beaches are.
The weather's still great.
Yeah, the water's still warm.
There's tons to do. So add on 2 days at the beginning or 2 days at the end and make it a vacation. There's so much to do in San Diego.
September 23 to 26, who do you say that I am? CatholicAnswersConference.com. My friends, they can only hold so many people in this hotel. I would hate for you not to be able to come. So please don't delay signing up. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Last word to you, Nathaniel, conference intern.
Last word to me.
Yes.
Well, if what you say is true about this being the greatest Catholic party in the world, then I think Jesus wants you to come because Jesus loved to party.
Beautifully said, just as he proved at Cana when he made more wine after people had been drinking for a while.
There you go.
CatholicAnswersConference.com. Thank you, folks.
Thanks.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Let's go to Joe in Beaumont, Massachusetts. Joe, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Could I ask Father Paul what the difference between Catholic teaching on the rapture, how it differs in Protestantism, and also how can I defend my Catholic faith when Protestants proclaim the rapture?
Very good.
Oh, dear. That's not a specialty of mine. We need to call in Jimmy Akin or Tim Staples.
Yeah, we do. Well, I can just tell you, Joe, that the church does not teach this doctrine of the rapture. That is people who will be, working
caught
in the fields and then caught up into the air. We don't teach
that.
And just so that you can have in fact, I know Catholic Answers has a tract on this. If you go to Catholic.com and put in rapture, you're going to get several articles, and they're going to be extremely helpful to you. But it is not, it's not scriptural. It is a teaching that derived as late as the 19th century. It's relatively new. And I also recommend to you a book it's called The Rapture Trap, and it is Forrest Thigpen, I think is his name. And I recommend that to you as well. Thanks for your question. Let's go to Roy in Greenville, South Carolina, watching on YouTube. Welcome, Roy, to Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So, Father, my question was, and this is coming from the perspective of someone who's in the process of joining the Catholic Church, so I'm not totally familiar with the theology, but how can Mary appear to people when, you know, she is human and she's not God? So how, the question is, how can she appear to people not being God?
Mm. Well, it's a divine favor. She doesn't do it on her own merit or her own authority or her own strength and power. Her role in salvation history is to be the unique, and we can say principal assistant in the work of the redemption. And so from that point of view, our Lord can have her appear to people, ask her to do that, I suppose, or in some collaborative way, as we understand it in human terms, for the salvation of souls, for the good of the world. If we think about it more broadly, we could say that the hierarchical structure of the church was something that was established by Christ when he founded the College of Bishops, the Apostolic College, the Apostles. And that gives us the structure of the church that we know today, dioceses and parishes that divide up the territory of the world for the administration of the sacraments and the teaching of the faith. But in addition to that, we also consider the church charismatic, by which I mean the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are poured upon the church at Pentecost. And Our Lady was present at Pentecost and received also these gifts. And so her role in salvation history, in that sense, could continue and obviously has through the approved apparitions, because at a given moment in salvation history, God judges it necessary, useful, opportune for her to appear to someone to do what? Call attention to herself? No. But to call or to re-invite or re-strengthen our conviction and attention in her Son. So everything that Our Lady does, she does with and for Jesus and his presence, continued presence in the church.
Hey, Roy, if we haven't lost you, give us your address, and I'm going to send you a copy of Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother. And and we will pray for you as you find your way into the church.
Persevere.
Let's go to Evan in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on AM 1260, The Rock. Evan, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Loud and clear, Evan. Evan, we're kind of running up against the clock.
All right. No problem. So real quick, I was just at Mass, and the priest, in the course of the consecration, when he was going, the words of consecration, this is my body, this is my blood, did not have the word for in front of that. And in Latin, there's no nom or anything, and I'm not certain that it changes the meaning, but I just wanted to get a clarified, perhaps exact answer on what that was and what to do about that if anything were to happen.
It doesn't sound to me that that would invalidate the confection of the sacrament. It's unfortunate if he missed a word or didn't follow what was in the missal. But according to what you described there, I don't think it impeded what you hoped would happen and why you were at Mass.
How's that, Evan?
All right, thank you.
All right, I think we're going to try to get one more. Let's go to Bill in Virginia, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Bill, real quick, what's your question?
About the priest movement every 4 years. How is that done, and how hard is that on the priest? Because it's very difficult on the parishioner.
Yeah. It's not necessarily every 4 years. It's according to the needs of the diocese, and it can result because of a priest's retirement or a priest dies, and the bishop's in a position where he needs to move someone. It also comes about because a younger priest needs to develop in ministry, and having different responsibilities helps him to grow in his own priestly life. But yes, I want to acknowledge it's a sacrifice on both sides.
My brother, we have time for a very quick blessing.
Through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe and Saint Joseph, her most chaste spouse, may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Coming up in our second hour, Carlo Broussard. Thank you very much, my brother. God bless.